Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to all of you. Today, believe it or not, is the first Sunday of Lent on the coldest day of the year. It's hard to believe, isn't it? Maybe you had pancakes this week or donuts and then took part in the Ash Wednesday service this week. So yes, Lent has begun. As you came in this morning, you noticed books here and there, didn't you? With people's names on them. Or maybe you helped to wrap them and so you knew something was coming. Books are full of stories. And we often hear, everyone has a story to tell. We need to listen to each other's stories. Hearing our stories helps us understand one another better. And when we write our stories, then future generations have them to keep, as our own Elaine has done, written her story. And we're so proud of you, Elaine. And isn't it amazing and fascinating how our stories intersect in the larger Mennonite story? Ask Richard about his grandparents taking in the great-grandparents of his future son-in-law, Dan. Just an amazing story. And the wonder of it all is that how all of our stories all fit into God's great story, the author of all life. And I'm going to use a few words from the leader. It's a story that encompasses all of our struggles, pain, joys, and victories. This author calls us calls our very lives to shape God's ongoing kingdom story. In the ups and downs found in the pages and chapters of our stories, Christ journeys with us. As we come to the end of our own resources, Christ invites us to give up our pens and relinquish full control and acknowledge God's co-authorship. As we do this, we catch glimpses of light in the dark that help us carry on. Lots to think about in our time of anticipation. Take your bulletin now. And isn't that a great cover for Valentine's Day? The bleeding heart. Turn to the back and we'll read the call to worship together. As we gather in this place, let us be drawn into the safety of the love of God. With the psalmist, we proclaim, "You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." Let's pray together. Generous God, you gave us life. Now we give our lives back to you. We present ourselves, our work and play, our joys and sorrows, our thoughts and deeds, our gifts and resources to be used by you for the sake of all people everywhere, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Jenilyn, I invite you up to lead us in our first songs.
Please turn with me to number 366, and let's stand to sing the first two opening hymns if you're able.
I love to tell.
Children, I invite you to come forward now, and Doris has something prepared for you.
Oh, can you do it all
it's
for
on.
Me? Now, boys and girls, I want you all to look at your hands. Look at your hands, okay? Yep. What color would you say your skin is? What color is your skin? Some of you older people here, tell me what color your skin would be. White, okay. They are kind of white. Now, if you put a white paper beside it, it doesn't look exactly white, but that's what we call white skin. It's kind of pinkish white, isn't it? Okay, have you ever seen people that have skin color different from yours? Mm-hmm. Okay, what kind of other skin colors might there be? Yeah?
Tan.
Tan, okay, all right, kind of brownish. Okay, any other? Yeah?
Black.
Black, mm-hmm, yeah. Did you know that this month in February is a special month? Do you know what special month it is? Black Heritage Month. Okay, so in Black Heritage Month, we kind of remember and respect the people that have black skin, okay? Now, let us think, is there any other difference between people that have other colors of skin, like black, and our skin? Is there any other
giving love.
love away and it up with having more. Now I know some of you girls have this book at home. Okay, the story is called Mammoth Panda's Pancakes, and it takes place in Kenya, way far away, where all the people pretty much are black. Mama Panya sang as she kicked sand with her bare feet, dousing the breakfast fire. We should have to put out the fire before she goes away. Adika, hurry up, she called cheerfully. Today we go to market. Surprise! I'm one step ahead of you, Mama. Adika stood in the doorway, dressed in his finest shirt and his cleanest shorts. I'm ready. Now Mama Panya has to hurry. After stirring her pots, grabbing her bag, and slipping her feet into her sandals, Mama Panya called, I'm ready too, Adika. Where are you? Here I am, Mama, two steps ahead of you. He sat under the baobab tree, Mama Panya's walking stick in his hand. Why, yes, you are. She accepted the walking stick and led them down the road. What will you get at the market today, Mama? Oh, a little bit. And a little bit more. Are you making pancakes today, Mama? You're a smart one. I guess I can't surprise you. Yay! How many pancakes will you make? Mama figured them. Two coins folded in a cloth tied around her waist. A little bit and a little bit more. Rounding the corner, they saw Mzi Odolo sitting by the river. What's new this morning? So she wouldn't chase the fish away. Adika blurted out, we're having pancakes tonight. Please come. Adika, Mama whispered in his ear. Mzi Odolo waved back saying, Azanti, Zana, I'll be there. Mama quickened her pace. We had to invite Mzi, Adika said. He's our oldest friend. Hurry up, you're a few steps behind, Mama replied. Look, Mama. It's Sawandi and Naaman, Adika's friends. Tap long reeds against the thighs of their paddle, moving them along. All three a few steps ahead. Wait, Adika, Mama called. Mama hadn't gone too far before he returned. They'll be happy to come, Adika panted. Mama panted and frowned, thinking about the coins in her wrap. I think she was thinking that she hadn't had enough money to buy enough flour to make enough pancakes. Oh, how many people will that be? Let's see. Sawandi, Naaman, you, me, counted Adika, and MZ Odor. That's five. How many pancakes do you think I can make today, son? I'm one step ahead of you, Mama. You'll have a little bit and a little bit more. That's enough. At the market, there were many buyers and sellers trading fruits, spices, and vegetables. Adika spotted his school friend, Gamilla, at her plantain stand. Now, plantains look like bananas. And they might taste a little like bananas, but they're a lot harder and firmer than a banana. Usually you cut them and slice them and fry them a bit. So they're not quite like a banana. Our bananas are softer. Now, don't you... And before she could finish, he ran to greet her. Mama tried to catch up, arriving just in time to hear, you'll come, won't you? Of course, Gamilla replied. Mama shot a glare at Adika and quickly grabbed his hand, whisking him away. Mama, we'll be able to stretch the flower. Ay, how much do you guys think I can stretch the flower, son? Adika waved his hand in the air. Oh, a little bit and a little bit more. At the flower stand, Mama said, Adika, you sit here. After greeting Bibi and Bawana Zawena, Mama asked, what can you give me for my money? And she offered the larger of the two coins to Bibi Zawena, who scooped one cup of flour onto a piece of brown paper. Adika popped up, Mama's making pancakes today, can you come? Oh, how wonderful. I think we can give you a little bit more for that coin. Bawana Zawena put a second cup onto the paper, then tied it up with a string. We'll see you later. Mama tucked the package in her bag. Aye, you and I will be lucky to share a half a pancake. But Mama, we me, Mama. I'll get a good one. No, Adika, she cried out. But we ran ahead to Rafiki Kaya's spice table. Mama got there just in time to hear, Mama's making pancakes today. Can you come? I'd love to, Kaya explained. She grabbed the coin from Mama's hand and replaced it with the plumpest pepper. That's just enough. Thanks for inviting me. Mama sighed. They headed home. How many people did we invite tonight? Adika, skipping two steps ahead, sang his reply. All of our friends, Mama. Mama piled twigs and sticks into the fire pit. See, that's where they Adika ran to fetch a pail of water. Mama crushed the chili pepper in a pot while Adika added some water. She stirred in all the flour, seeing there would be none left to save for another time. Mama poured a dollop into the oiled frying pan on the fire. Sawana and Naaman were the first to arrive, shouting, "Holi!" And Adika called Kariba, I think it's pronounced, to welcome them. They carried two leather drinking gourds filled with milk. Okay. And a small pail of butter. Mama Tanya, we have extra from our cattle. Okay, so now they have milk to drink and butter to put on their pancakes. Nizi Adola and MZ Adola came soon after. Old Man River has given us three fish today. Oh, so they're going to have fish at their meal with their pancakes. Mila arrived with a plantain bunch perched on her head. Plantains, remember, are a little bit like bananas. They will go very well with pancakes. Bibi and Buana Zawena brought a package filled with more flour and handed it to Adika. Store this away for later. When Rafiki Kaya arrived, she brought handful of salt and cardamom spice along with her thumb piano. A thumb piano is just a little thing that you put your thumb, it's not a piano. And the feast began as they sat under the baobab tree to eat Mama Panya's pancakes. Of course, they had a lot more good pancakes, right? Afterward, Kaya played the thumb piano and Nzi Adola sang slightly off key. Adika whispered with a gleam in his eye and a smile on his face, "I know you will make pancakes again soon, Mama." She smiled, "Yes, Adika, you are one step ahead of me." Okay, so I asked you a question before. Okay, I want you to tell me how giving love away in this story ended up with having love. How did that work? Give love away and we're having more. How did that work in this story? Anybody know? Yep.
They were asking people if they wanted pancakes.
Yeah. They all came and they all brought more, and I think they all had love together here. Okay, I think before we go back to our seats, we'll have a little prayer. Dear God, help us to love and respect each other, no matter what the color of our skin. Help us to spread love to everyone. Amen.
Thank you, Doris. And if you'll turn to the back of your bulletin again, we will read together the Confessing Reconciling section. Provider God, we confess that we often forget that all we are and all we have comes from you. We forget that we can trust in you and rely on you in times of trial and temptation. Forgive our weakness and forgetfulness. Help us to lean on your life-giving word and to believe in your promise of reconciliation and eternal love. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Amen. And I'll read these words of assurance. God says, whenever you cry out to me, I will answer. I'll be with you in troubling times. I'll show you my salvation. And now please turn to your green, sing the journey, and we're going to sing together, You Are All We Have, number 29. For our scripture reading this morning, I will be reading from Luke 4, verses 1 to 13. Last week we were on the mountaintop with Jesus. Today we're in the wilderness. Now Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan and was led by the Holy Spirit into the wild. For 40 wilderness days and nights he was tested by the devil. He ate nothing during those days. And when the time was up, he was hungry. The devil, playing on his hunger, gave the first test. Since you're God's son, command this stone to turn into a loaf of bread. Jesus answered by quoting Deuteronomy, it takes more than bread to really live. For the second test, he led him up and spread out all the kingdoms of the earth on display at once. Then the devil said, they're yours in all their splendor to serve your pleasure. I'm in charge of them all and can turn them over to whomever I wish. Worship me and they're yours, the whole works. Jesus refused again, backing his refusal with Deuteronomy. Worship the Lord your God and only the Lord your God. Serve him with absolute single-heartedness. For the third test, the devil took him to Jerusalem and put him on top of the temple. He said, if you're God's son, jump. It's written, isn't it, that he's placed you in the care of angels to protect you? They'll catch you. You won't so much as stub your toe on a stone. Yes, said Jesus, and it's also written, don't you dare tempt the Lord your God. That completed the testing. The devil retreated temporarily, lying in wait for another opportunity. Hendrika?
We had four pacifier-addicted children and two pacifier-addicted parents who constantly were looking for the pacifier that would soothe our kids. When they were grouchy, we used the plug. When they were tired, we used the plug. When they were hurt, we used the plug. If they were hungry and thirsty and we didn't think it was time yet, we used the plug. A pacifier was so important to my survival that I made sure we had several around the house at all times. A pacifier, according to the Macmillan Dictionary, is someone or something that is able to make people become peaceful and calm. I'm trying here. Dan, can you just do it? Because I have a great slide. There. Did you know there are no pacifiers in the wilderness? The first Sunday in Lent begins with a temptation story, as Lois just read. This year, the scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of Luke, one of two Gospels which goes into great detail about the temptation. Jesus was tempted and tested for his devotion, for his love of power and wealth, and his desire for fame. Every time the devil offered him more bread, more power, more protection, Jesus turned him down. No to the bread, Jesus says. No to the kingdoms. No to the angelic bodyguards. Jesus emptied himself of the desires of the material world to worship and serve God. By the end of the story, the devil still has all his bribes in his bag, and Jesus is free to go. This morning, I won't go further into the temptation story, but rather we'll go right to the place where the story took place, in the wilderness. Many of us live full and busy lives. A busy life has the tendency to make us reactive to what is in front of us, rather than having the opportunity to pause and take the time to be able to make thoughtful decisions that reflect who we are and truly want to be. When this rhythm of busyness stays unchecked, our heart, soul, and mind can slowly disappear into autopilot, and sadly, it is possible to just go through the day without really being present or engaged. On Ash Wednesday, I shared the story of a priest who asked his congregation, "What's the difference between a flute and a stick in the mud?" The priest went on, "The stick in the mud is full of itself. The flute has been emptied of itself so it can make music." In a world where many of us are full of ourselves, we need to be emptied. Empty ourselves so that our lives can make beautiful music. Our lives are filled with physical, emotional clutter, noise, and hustle. Lent invites us to step back and rethink how we live our life. Mother Teresa once said, "We need silence to be alone with God, to speak to God, to listen to God, to ponder God in our heart. We need to be alone with God in silence to be renewed and transformed. Silence gives us a new outlook on life. In it, we are filled with the energy of God, which makes us do all things with joy." I do believe every one of us knows a bit about the wilderness. Maybe your wilderness looked more like a doctor's office or a hospital waiting room, or the sheets on your friend's bed after you got kicked out of your house. Or maybe it looked more like a parking lot of your workplace after you were just let go of your job. It may even have been a kind of desert in the middle of your own chest or your own mind, where you begged for a word from God and heard nothing but the wheezing bellows of your own breath. Wildernesses come in so many shapes and sizes that the only way you can really tell you're in one is to look around for what you normally count on to save your life and come up empty. This is not a situation we tend to seek. We don't choose the wilderness. We find ourselves in one. Jesus did not go into the wilderness on his own accord. He was sent into the wilderness. Most of us try to stay out of it, but I don't know anyone who succeeds at it entirely or forever. Sooner or later, every one of us will get to take a trip into our own wilderness. I always say that how we live in that wilderness and how we see, experience, and discover this wilderness is up to each individual. But one day, we will find ourselves there, and we will discover who we really are and what our lives are really all about. That could sound like bad news, but even if it feels like that in the moment, often the wilderness is a profound place. The wilderness is one of the most reality-based, spirit-filled, life-changing places a person can be in. Take Jesus for instance. How did he end up there? The Spirit led him into the wilderness. What was he full of? He was full of the Holy Spirit. What else did he live on? Nothing. How long was he there? Weeks and weeks. How did he feel at the end? He was famished. What did that long, famishing stretch in the wilderness do to him? After 40 days in the wilderness, Jesus had learned to trust the Spirit that had led him there to lead him out again. With the kind of clarity and grit he could have found nowhere else other than in the wilderness. This wisdom about the value of the wilderness is just about lost, I think, lost to our fast-paced culture of today. That is why I try to embrace Lent. Lent is a time where we are invited to intentionally go into the wilderness. We are free to choose a wilderness experience. Too often, Lent, however, is reduced to cutting down on how much you drink or putting a dollar in a box of every dessert you skip. The wisdom of the wilderness is that anyone who wants to follow Jesus needs the kind of clarity and grit that far too often is found in the wilderness. Deanna Battler Bass is a theologian and a preacher I've heard when I have gone to the conference in Nashville, and she writes on this Lenten wilderness journey. But if you have spent a lot of time and or money trying to acquire whatever it takes to grow your soul without seeing any new buds, then maybe a little spell in the wilderness is worth a try. A few weeks of choosing to live on less, not more. Of practicing subtraction instead of addition. Not because your regular life is bad, but because you want to make sure it is your real life, the one you long to be living, which can be hard to do when you're living on fast food and busyness. She writes further, I know people who give up using their cell phones for Lent. I know other people who give up watching television or shopping or eating while they're standing up. Of course, none of these things would impress people who have spent their whole lives trying to figure out where the next meal is coming from. But in a culture of plenty, I'm impressed with anyone who decides to make it without a pacifier for a while. To give up whatever appliances or habits or substances they use to keep themselves from feeling what it really feels like to live the kind of lives they're living. I mean, almost everyone uses something. Everyone has a favorite pacifier. Murder mysteries, Facebook, Instagram, or Snapchat, reruns of Property Brothers, vanilla chai latte, chocolates, pins on Pinterest. You know what you use to soothe yourself. I'm not saying those are awful things. I have my own pacifiers. I'm just saying they're distractions. Things to reach for when we're tired, too sad, too stressed, too lonely, or too afraid. In the wilderness, there are no pacifiers. The problem for most of us is that we cannot go straight from setting down the cell phone, the chocolates, or the pins to hearing the still small voice of God in the wilderness. If it worked like that, churches would be full and Rogers would be out of business. If it worked like that, Lent would only be about 20 minutes long. What we have instead are 40 whole days of finding out what life is like without the usual pacifiers, which is how most of us learn what led us to use it in the first place. Once you take the headphones off, silence can be really loud. Once you turn off the television, a night can get really long. After a while, you can start thinking that all of this quiet emptiness, or worst case, all this howling wilderness, is a sign of things gone badly wrong. Devil on the loose, huge temptations, no help from the audience, God not present, not to mention your own spiritual insufficiency to deal with any of these things. But if you remember to breathe, then 9 times out of 10, you can make it to the first night with no extra bread, power, or protection. You can get used to the sound of your own heart beating and whatever it is that is yipping out there. You may even be able to sleep a little while and wake up gladder to be alive than you can ever remember being. So there are 40 days to go. Don't count them. Take it one day at a time. There are no pacifiers in the wilderness. After you've reached for your pacifier a few times and remember it is not there, not because someone stole it from you, but because you made a conscious decision to give it up, then you may discover a whole new level of conversation with yourself. Are you hungry? I'm famished. Well, what's wrong with that? Are you dying? No. Can you stand being hungry for a little while longer? Maybe. I guess so. Okay, so what else? Are you lonely? Yes, I am. I'm terribly lonely. What's wrong with being alone? Will it kill you? I don't like it. That's not what I asked. Can you live through it? Probably not, but I'll try. Our minds are geniuses at telling us that losing our pacifiers is going to kill us. But it's almost never true. All that's going to happen is that we're going to suck air for a while. Then we're going to hiccup. Then we're going to look around and see things without the pink plastic circle under our noses, which is going to turn out to be a good thing for both of us and for everyone else in our lives. Leave your pacifier and walk confidently in the wilderness. It can be a very peaceful place.
Please turn with me to number 37 in the blue duotang, 37, and yeah, that's the song. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
And number 54 in the green book. I invite the ushers to come forward to collect our offering. Let's pray. Christ, our teacher, you reach into our lives not through instruction, but story. Open our hearts to be attentive, that seeing we may perceive, and hearing we may understand, and understanding we may act upon your word, and in giving we may receive. Amen.
Thank you. Are there any announcements that someone wants to make? Please come forward.
Good morning. This is an announcement from Wilmot Ignited, the Housing Committee. First of all, I want to again thank this week for the contribution and help that I received from friends here in this valley to make beds, put up curtains, work on floors. So thank you, Susan, Bonnie, Danielle, and Lori, and who else did I miss? Anyway, we had a wonderful time. Thank you. Anyway, Carmen, on behalf of Carmen, I'm asking on his behalf that we need more people on the Housing Committee. It's basically he and I. And what he saw on his behalf, I'm putting this out, he is looking for able-bodied individuals that are live close to New Hamburg to be on this committee. These persons would need to help shovel snow, handle household problems, maintenance chores such as broken doorknobs, latches, fuses, etc., etc. And he is going away for 3 weeks in March. And so the request is quite urgent, and then ongoing as we go from here. But basically, in the near future, he's looking for someone. If there's anybody who is interested, you can either talk to Matthew or myself, and we'll give you the way to get in contact with Carmen, and he will then orient you. Thank you.
I mentioned a few weeks ago I'm doing the Hidden Acres both on donation collection again this year, and I didn't have the details of what this year's funds are going for, so I'll share those now. There will be a washroom renovation for the older staff house, an emergency backup generator, retrofitting outdoor lighting, more efficient LED bulbs, picnic tables, updating office equipment, and begin planning for replacing summer cabins and other annual capital commitments. So like I've mentioned many times before, this is Hidden Acres' biggest once-a-year fundraiser, and all the different, you know, just regular old capital projects that happen keep the camp functioning. So I appreciate your support. I'm actually bowling in a couple weeks, but I'll collect funds for the next few weeks. Thanks.
I just have two quick announcements. The first one is if you'd like to see your name on a book up at the front or scattered throughout the church, you're welcome to wrap one downstairs. There's a little bit of paper left, so try to do that for today and we'll put it up somewhere. Secondly, it's not too late to join our women's Bible study, which will be starting this Wednesday night at 6:30 here at the church, and we'll be having a meal together and then an evening of study and sharing. So hope you can join us. Thanks.
I had lined up wonderful speakers for our women's retreat who, through some circumstances, cannot longer be our speakers this year, hopefully for years to come. So right now we have nothing to offer in terms of, we have some ideas, but we also need a committee. So if you want to have the women's retreat to happen in 2 weeks, please come and speak to me. I also am recognizing that women tend are busy because there's the MCEC women's group that meets, the larger cluster group, and the women's Bible study, so also some feedback on whether we need the retreat at this time or whether we want to hold off for and do it next year. So if you want to speak to me afterwards, if you're a woman, and if there's a male that wants to be our guest speaker, you can speak to me too. We'll move right into sharing our joys with each other and our concerns.
I'll just speak from here and just want to, I'm sure everyone is aware that we are in the middle of a pastoral review, so I just, first of all, want to keep that process, uphold that process in prayer as we go through this week. That being said, just to keep you informed, is the we are meeting with our residents at Nithview this week, and as part of their own focus group. So we're going to do that. And then next Sunday is focus groups here at the church. And unfortunately, we are a little disorganized on how that process is going to happen next Sunday. And so we're going to have to give you the details, but I believe it's going to include a breakfast component. Do you have anything new on that?
Quickly, I realize. No.
We're going to have to get you the details of that through email.
Come.
Yeah, email next week or this week. So we'll let you know that. But the intent is that next Sunday will be focus group Sunday. So keep that in mind.
I know that we've worked really hard in coming up with the best questions ever, and so some of those other details. And I think February for many of us has come so quickly that we maybe are, you know, slightly surprised of where we are in the season. But we are doing it next week, and it will be wonderful. And I hope all of you can come and join us for that morning. Are there any other... I would like to share a concern. There's a family that used to play hockey with Thomas, and for years were on his team. The mom has experienced significant health issues over the last year. There's some ups and downs, and she had struggled with mental health for much of the children's childhood. I guess they're still children, but early childhood, and she was hospitalized on numerous occasions. And the family has had their struggles, but last Saturday night she developed significant cognitive limitations and can't recognize her own family, gets frightened very easily. And yesterday an email came just for prayer for her. They attend Inverkip Presbyterian Church, but their children are Thomas's age and a year older than Benedict, and really are still in the need of parental care. But and her name's, the family's the Griffin family, and it's Denise, Joe, Shaylin, and Eli that I would like to ask you to pray for as they're going through this major struggle. Are there any other? Okay, let us pray together. God of all, we have gathered here this morning to be with you and with all your children. We have come to rejoice and to thank you for all the goodness and strength you bring to us and to the world. We know that there is so much brokenness in our world. Healing God, we come today seeking your presence in all broken places. In our own stories, we have struggles. We carry burdens and mask what is really going on. Help us to find the courage to reach out to you in all situations and all places. This morning I pray for Joe and Denise and for Shaylin and Eli as they support Denise through this difficult time. Be with them, give them strength and the support they need to face each day. In silence, we pray for our own struggles. In silence, we pray for all who have struggled, who are known to us by name, and to those you only know. Let us turn to you with our whole heart, mind, soul, and strength. God, we rejoice for much goodness in our world and in our life. For health and strength and daily bread, we give you thanks, O God. Let us pause and give thanks for the goodness in our life. God, we give you thanks for this place, for this church, for the people gathered here today and always. As we go through our congregational pastoral review, guide us. Be with us, and let us prepare in prayer for next Sunday. God, we praise you for the goodness which surrounds us, and together we pray the prayer which Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. As part of our Lenten series, we will offer the ancient faith practice of communion every Sunday. This is very different from our Mennonite tradition, but we will have it as a ritual every Sunday morning. All are invited to participate in this ritual of breaking bread and drinking juice. But you're also free to pass the bread and cup on to your neighbor if you just, for whatever reason, don't feel like participating on any given Sunday. We're inviting all, children, adults of all ages, to partake of the bread and the juice. God, who walks with us on this Lenten journey, invites us to the table. He invites all. All who are committed to the journey are welcome. All who have questions about the journey are welcome. All who are skeptical of the journey are welcome. We will form a circle around the sanctuary, and we will pass the juice and the bread around, and it will end up to the back, and we'll have a prayer, and the people in the back that receive the bread and the cup can just place it on the landing out there when everyone has had it. Before we do so, we will sing hymn number 87 in the green hymnal as our preparatory song for communion, and after the song, we will gather in the circle around.
Thank you. I recognize within me the times I've been unkind. And I ask for forgiveness. I recognize within me my narrowness of vision and mind. And I ask for your love to fill me. Lord Jesus, I empty now my heart and stretch out my hands and ask you to feed me. Lord, we pray that the bread, a symbol of your body broken for us, will nourish us as we follow you. May the cup we drink be a symbol of your sacrifice and your promise to be always near. May this love feast give us the nourishment for the week ahead. Thanks be to God. Amen. And I said to drink the cup, but I think we're going to dunk the bread in it, and then you can eat immediately.
Eternal God, as we leave this place of worship and communion, may we go knowing that you never leave us or forsake us. Help us to go with the song of faith in our hearts, the peace of Christ in our lives, the protection of the Spirit beside us, and the security of your presence beneath us. Amen.
Peace be with you. Children are leading us out.